Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the show, Health and Wellness for Dr. Jeanette Radio. It's a pleasure to have you with us here today. Today, we are going to be talking about being amazing. Well, being amazing, what does that mean? You know, so many people say it and they say, I don't understand what it means. Some people say and they say, yeah, I am amazing. Some people say, I don't know what that really is important to my life or not. Why should I even care? Today we're going to be talking about living inspired, being responsible, being more in the moment, being able to pay attention to what's going on in life, and really to be more courageous and joyful. You know, the other day I had said to someone, you know, I haven't remembered the last time we laughed. And the other person looked at me and they're like, you're crazy. Don't bother me with that stuff. Another person said, really? I never noticed that either. And another person said, that's not important. Whatever. I got problems. I got my own issues. And, you know, that's the kind of my day's going to be. Except their day like that has been living like that for 6 years. So, really, how can we learn to become a little bit more amazing in our own life or have a better life or change something in our life or change the way we think about things? Some people say change. Oh, gosh, I always got to change. I always got to change. But, you know, things around me, the world is what it's always been. My work is what it always is. It is what it is. It's never going to change. Or even still, I heard someone say to me one day, you know, the world is what it is, so you just want to, you know, keep on going uphill. You keep trying to make all these people change around you, and you keep changing. I can't deal with this. How do we handle life like that? How do we make it from day to day? A lot of people are having a lot of conflicts these days, and what we'll be talking about today is sharing all of these different topics. Because I do think it's very important to say, I heard that the other day. Ooh, someone mentioned that the other day, or I said it the other day. And then be able to say, how can we go from there to the next step? What we're talking about is action, doing, and being able to implement change. My guest today is Erin Ramsey. Her book is Be Amazing, Tools for Living Inspired. It's a really great book because it really has concise pages that talk about a topic, and there's some action steps at the end and affirmations. And you know, when there's an action step, you say, okay, I just read all of that, and I don't know about you, but this is what I sometimes do. I read it all, but I read it as a story. When I got to the end, it was like, oh, did I miss something? Maybe I should get out my pen and go back and read the story again because I missed the punchline. I missed the to-do sheet. I missed the step. And Erin, at the end of every story, gives you an action step. So, Erin, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So, Erin, don't you think a lot of these days everybody's having ups, downs, and arounds, right?
Yeah, well, you know, that's exactly why I wrote Be Amazing, is because, you know, things outside of ourselves are never going to change. You know, we always are going to have challenges. There's always going to be stressors in our world. And then what happens is if we're always just reacting to those stressors, that becomes our life. And Be Amazing really came out of the notion that, you know, in a sense, we can be the captain of our own ship, that, you know, we know that not all, life is not always going to be easy, but how we respond to what happens to us is what really makes the difference. And so over the years of just being a really stressed out mom of four children, working tons of hours with a failing marriage and, you know, limited authentic friendships because of all the stress in my life, I just thought, you know, I need a tool belt. I just need some tools to manage differently so that I don't wake up in 10 or 15 years complaining about the same things, feeling the same negative energy in my life when it's not necessary. And so that's how I really Be Amazing came about, and that's how all the tools for living inspired were generated, really tried and true through my own life, with a complete turnaround, living joyously yeah. now and courageously.
I think a lot of people, too, they say life, it is what it is. You know, oh, man, sometimes I just want to box that thing up and ship it to Siberia. Because, you know, people
right.
say it is what it is. It is what it is. They're always the way they're going to be, you know. Or, why do you always have to rock the boat? We hear these words constantly, I think. I'm an older person. I'm almost 60. So I can honestly tell you my generation and 70s and 80s, man, it's like dogma. It's like written in the wall, you know. They are going
yeah.
to do what they're going to do, and that's it. But then you have some elders who are now over the ages of 50, I'm finding, where I've said on the radio show before, it's almost like parting of the Red Sea, as I've said before. It's a parting of the seas of ages, because you have those elders who say, ah, I can take it on, I can do it. And they're out there skydiving and doing this, that, and the other, and having dance classes and all. But then there's the others who are riding the pony of, I'm sick, I'm this, it's never going to work, it's the way it always is, and they're on the other side. So we're really starting to see a whole lot of parting going on, where people are either taking it on, or they're just saying there's no way, and it's really showing a diverse culture now.
I think that, you know, a lot of us get into habits regardless of our age, thinking habits. You know, I have a lot of friends and people who are older in their 60s, 70s, and 80s reading my book and practicing the tools, and then a lot that aren't. And same with the younger generation, you know, trying to reach people in their 20s and 30s so they don't waste 10, 20, 30 years being like a hamster in a wheel. So I really just think it depends on how much we really want to do and if we want to keep just saying it is what it is or it is what I make
right.
it. And living inspired really is it is what I'm going to make it.
What and I'm really
trying to do.
I think a lot of the younger groups, I myself with my four kids that are now in their 30s, I'm really finding that they are saying, you know, I'm not going to take that job because it's a job and a paycheck, but I really am going to take something so I'll be happy. Or, you know, another of their friends would say, you know, I'm really trying to learn how to do life and I've not found a girlfriend yet, and but that's okay because I'm learning lessons along the way. I think the younger group has really come in with a different set of tool belts, or actually what I call their tool belt has been activated, you know, and they're ready to roll with it, and it's really great, and I think they teach us a lot of things. We see it quite often, you know, in the way playing out on the media. You know, a lot of people are stepping up and stepping out to make changes.
Right, exactly. I mean, there's no doubt my children are in their 20s as well, you know, a little younger than yours, but it is a different time because they have grown up in an expansive world, you know, that so much more information at their fingertips, and seeing priorities set differently than maybe their parents or their grandparents had done based on, you know, culture and timeliness of the way that we're operating as a country or a world. So my theory is that I love that. I love when I see young people knowing they don't have to settle and that they can be brave and they don't have to fit in the box with everything that they do or decide to do. And then I love when I see older people realize that liberation too. And I don't ever think it's too late. And I, you know, there's young kids that are stuck too, going to college because their parents told them that's what they wanted them to do, and majoring in things that aren't going to make them happy. So these challenges are just universal, I think. It's really about making the choice to navigate in a different way. Because even if you're in a job that you can't stand and you feel trapped, or if you're in a predicament where you have a health issue, or anything can be happening, and we can still access the tools. So it's really about what's inside of us, not what's outside of us.
Let's talk a little bit about your book. It starts right out with the word self-consideration. People would say, what does that mean? So can you share a little bit about what that might mean to you?
Sure. You know, as I started to compile the six choices that are in the book, self-consideration is the first one. And it really was thinking about how can we assess ourselves and look in the mirror honestly and say, where am I and where do I want to go, and what is it in me that's stopping me or preventing me from being everything I can be? And, you know, a lot of scholars and authors in the past would kind of coin this as like a self-assessment, but I really wanted to take it a step further into self-consideration, and that's the term that I very intentionally chose for this choice, because it really is about considering ourselves from our heart and not passing judgment on ourselves. So while we can ask ourselves the hard question, it's coming from a place of abundance. So it's really about good self-talk, overcoming self-doubt, taking time to care for yourself in really authentic ways, all on the premise that when we do this, when we do truly consider ourselves, we're better able to care for other people and serve them.
You know, because a lot of times we'll hear people say, it's not my job. In fact, I just got done reading a post this morning. I've been a dental hygienist of over 30 years, and they were talking about, should the dental hygienist fill in or be a team player or, you know, all of this other stuff. And, wow, the dogma just started going, no, yes, no, you know, and it just was crazy. And that idea of it's not my job, we think of that in life, too. Is it my job? It's not my job to fix other people. It's not my job to do different things in life, but we really have to figure out what is my job, and my job is really to take care of yourself first, correct?
Right. One of the tools in the book under the embracing self-consideration choice, one of the tools is that I am not my job. And that tool for me, and I think for millions of people around the world, particularly women, that we and men, really, that we get caught up in our roles that we're playing. So this came when I was a workaholic, running a nonprofit, stressed out, and really have like a false sense of importance, you know, about what I was doing and the impact I had on others. And because my ego and my identity was attached to what my career was, when I am not my job really means, you know, who am I and how is my spirit? Because we all have different jobs, whether you're working and you have a career, or if you're a mother or a father or a sister or a community volunteer, we're all playing a bunch of different roles every day. And when we get confused is when we start to think that we're those roles. Those roles really should just be a manifestation of our true spirit. So it's really about a reconnection with ourselves.
At this time, we're going to take a short break, because I'd like to share a product that I've been taking since December 2015, and I really feel the benefits every day. I'm sharing it because I really believe we need to start taking a few steps to improve our own health without waiting for someone to always tell us what to do. With heart and blood vessel complications these days, I really believe it's high on my list of what to take today. And so I hope you take a minute to check out the link following the Cardio Miracle information.
Attention all women over 50 who are feeling listless and tired. Are you constantly hitting a wall? Are your day-to-day activities wearing you out? We have great news. Take control of your health and empower your body with a new exclusive formula of vital nutrients and antioxidants. Our product, Cardio Miracle, is an alternative health option that can improve your general health and give you that much-needed natural energy so you can accomplish everything on your to-do list without feeling exhausted. Cardio Miracle can help you to have the energy and power you need to deal with all the lumps, bumps, and general chaos of life. It's called Cardio Miracle because it improves your heart health while giving you natural energy and important vitamins.
vitamins and nutrients your body craves. Statistics tell us women are at a high risk for a cardiac event. Please inform yourself as options are available. Discover more about this new product at cardiomiracle.com/Dr. Jeanette, spelled all in lowercase, DrJeanette. Thousands of women like yourself, including Dr. Jeanette, have blessed their bodies and their hearts with the restorative power of CardioMiracle. Learn more at cardiomiracle.com/Dr. Jeanette. That's cardiomiracle.com/Dr. Jeanette.
Yeah, because, you know, people look and they say, they meet someone and they say, well, who are you? And then they start reading off their labels, sort of like they're reading off a can of soup, you know. And
yeah,
you think that that's all who they are, and it has nothing to do with who they are.
Right. And so many of us have forgotten, and that's what
mm-hmm.
happened to me, is you really forget who you are because you get busy, because you want approval, because your ego gets in the way. And so embracing self-consideration is taking that time to reacquaint with yourself and to really figure out who you are and what's going to be best for your spirit, all in the gist of making sure that you can make your greatest contributions while you're here on Earth. And when we're caught up in our roles and we're talking negatively about ourselves to ourselves, and, you know, we think we're more important than we are, we aren't really serving other people either.
Yeah, you know, I think sometimes we get hung up too in the idea of about being worthy. You know, we think that the more tags we have attached to us, or that we more look that we have fit the part, that gives us our worthiness, or that gives us our value, or that some people will say, well, that fills up my heart, that fills up my whatever, kind of just fills up your calendar sometimes too, and it really doesn't even do anything for who you are or what your beliefs are. Sometimes it's just that, as you've said, it's just that ego story that you want to keep running.
Exactly. And worthiness is a common denominator for many people of why we get unconnected and caught up in the roles and the approval of others. So I think you're right. But with the right strategies and using your tools and creating a tool belt, it's really possible, and it doesn't take a long time to reacquaint with yourself. It just takes practice.
Let's talk a little bit about negativity. Some people will say, I don't understand what that word means, negativity, you know, but yet they'll turn around and if you've eaten lunch with them that day, you know about everything and anything that's gone on in their community or at their job, because they've, you know, just sat there and gave you the dish on everyone else, you know. But what I find sometimes is the one sometimes that's always talking the most about everyone else is generally someone that hasn't really looked inside themselves, because they've got so much chaos at their own home, you know, or in their own life or in their own self. And we don't want to judge, but what we want to say is that we don't also need to participate in that either.
Exactly. And, you know, we struggle with that, even within our own families that might have problems, or people that you're sitting around at lunch, or in your own relationships, or the people you work with. And we can't change other people is the thing. And so that's what I was really learning when I was on my path to living inspired. And while I always mm-hmm. wanted to help everybody, be there for them, it really isn't about that. And one of the tools in the book is called I'm Not My Monkeys. And it's a Polish proverb, not my monkeys, not my circus. And the premise of that tool, and it's just a mental, you know, reminder for me when I'm getting pulled into negativity or drama or family problems, that, you know, I love people in other circuses and I will be there for them if they need me. But my real contribution is I'm going to create a joyful circus, and hopefully other monkeys who want to be joyful will join me. So I limit my exposure to super negativity, to bad news all the time, and don't willingly go over to other people's circuses, but really feel like my contribution is to create a happy life full of joy, and when they're ready, they'll join me.
Yeah, you know, there's so many times where when someone calls up and they'll say, oh, I haven't heard from you lately, and I'll say, yeah, I know, and just let it go. And yet sometimes some people want to bait you and find out why they haven't heard from you. And, you know, I think one time I had said, well, we really haven't had anything good to say lately, or, you know, I really wasn't willing to play in that dirty sandbox, as I call it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just don't, when you have that conversation, sometimes the only thing they ever want to do is just always berate or talk about other people instead of just sharing about themselves or asking you how you're doing. And, you know, I found it was the best quality, I think, what I noticed with my kids probably a few years ago, was that they would call me up to talk to me. And they would do that when they were driving. And sometimes they would just sit there and we wouldn't say anything. And, you know, my daughter might be singing when, you know, when she's driving and I can hear her. Or my son would be saying, oh, gosh, look at that over there, you know, like maybe the bird or wherever he was or where he was living. He lived in Florida. Oh, look at that sunset over there, whatever. And we wouldn't even have those discussions. It was just being in the moment of sharing the space and time. And one time the kids had commented about it, oh, I'm not going to call you if you have nothing to say. And I said, isn't that wonderful that we don't have anything to complain about or we don't have anything to berate about? And once that became clear to them and myself, it was like they kept calling all the time. And we would just sit there and hardly even talk. And we thought, what a great conversation.
How lovely. That's really lovely. You know, I think that that's probably the highest hanging fruit, especially with the way our country's set up and so many loved ones are far away from each other. The other thing about this tool about, you know, not my monkeys is that, you know, you can limit exposure, like you say, if someone's always mm-hmm. going to be complaining at you, so that you don't always have to say. And then if they do ask you, a good response I have that I think will help other people is because it's really hard to say, I don't want to be in your drama or I don't want to, you know, play in the dirty sandbox, is that, you know, I've just really been trying to focus on myself and mm-hmm. making sure that I'm on the path that's intended for me. You know, so you can make it about you and kind of model, you know, I've been meditating or I've been spending time alone to really figure out what I want. And, you know, I'm trying to just, you know, be and expose myself to positive experiences. So, you know, instead of calling somebody else out, it's really good to mm-hmm. model and share what you're doing in a non-condescending way. You know, we don't want to be condescending and alienate people, but it is our right. And it actually becomes our gift to share when we're able to do that.
You also talked in the book about don't postpone joy. People will say, I'm having trouble right now. I've been sick for the past 7 years, and I really need to get fixed soon so I can have a better life and be happier. Or I'm really worried about my job, and my job, you know, I might get fired or whatever, so I'm really worried about money. And you'll ask them, how long have you been worried about this? And they'll say months, or they'll say years. And you ask them, what have you done last year? Or what have you done in the past 6 months? And they'd say, work. Have you gone outside? Have you gone to the park? Have you watched a favorite movie on TV? Have you connected with anyone? Have you visited any friends? Have you just sat down and gone for a swim or something? And most the time, the majority of the time, rather, they will say, no, I've done none of those. Didn't you just hear me? I've been worried about this or I've been worried about that. And really we worry, we wonder, who is given the power over in their life? Is it the thing that they're worried about versus themselves being able to say, you know, I have the power to change my life or to be able to still live my life even in the presence of all these challenges?
Yeah, it's so many people are in the cycle of that, and I mean I was too. I think most people go through phases of it. Really, you know, the choice is how long do we want to stay there? And you know, you often hear things, not even just health, but you know, when I have this amount of money, I'm going to do this, or when I lose this amount of much weight, I'm going to do this. And really, the moment is now, because the moment is all that we have, and that's why creating joy is one of the choices of Be Amazing and the Tools for Living Inspired, because when we can create joy in our hearts and in our lives, talk about spreading goodwill and being contagious It really is a great contribution. You know, the old saying is if you're depressed, go do something for somebody else and you're going to feel better. So I think just keeping a focus on being joyful, and that story, Don't Postpone Joy, actually came from a gentleman in the Chicago airport when I was stranded there one day. And he walked by me and he had a T-shirt on that said, Don't Postpone Joy. And I looked at him and I wanted to go up to him and ask him where he got his T-shirt. It was super crowded. And then before I knew it, he was gone. And I had my journal out, so I just wrote, Don't Postpone Joy, knowing that that's just a great, like, key tool for me to use, especially here I am stuck in this airport and I just want to get home to my family. And then a few seconds later, maybe a couple of minutes, I'm not sure, I turned around, and there he is again. And he worked at the airport because he had, like, these big earmuffs around his neck, and he had this T-shirt on. He was big and grizzly. And I went up to him and I said, oh, my gosh, your T-shirt is just so cool. Where did you get that? And he got this look on his face, like, all of a sudden, just pure sadness. And he's like, well, do you want to know? And I said, yeah, I would love to hear. And he goes, well, I had a friend named Joy. And anytime you didn't call her back or if she walked in a room, she'd always say, don't postpone joy, don't postpone joy. Ends up, Joy was killed in her 20s in a car accident unexpectedly, and him and his friends had made that shirt for her funeral. And I thought, you know, that is just the perfect example of all we have is right now, and we are intended. I have no doubt in my heart that we are intended to live joyously and abundantly. And so when it comes down to wanting to lose some weight or have more money in the bank or get good health or get a better marriage, it really, those are just outside of ourselves. The more we can start creating joy first, the better those things will get or will be eliminated. That we actually have a choice, that joy doesn't just happen to us. You know, you don't just meet funny people all the time or see beautiful things unless you're looking for them. And that's why all the choices are active, and that I truly believe that we can create joy in our lives, even if we don't think there's any there right now.
And even in your book, you talk about do something, and let's take that right into the context of joy, because people will say, what does joy mean? I'm not going to walk around the house happy as ever, you know, like nothing's wrong. I'm not going to lie to myself, or I'm not going to tell myself the wrong story. But also, too, joy could be what makes you happy. Mine is the clouds. I don't know what it is, but I can always notice a cloud. I'll be driving down the street, and I'll look up at the clouds and forget I'm driving. Did that once, won't do that again. But, you know, or I could go swimming and just lay on my back and look up at the clouds 24/7 all the time, because that's my joy. So you have to find something that is it for you and be able to institute that process, you know, almost as many times as you possibly can. It could be daily. It could be a few times a day. So it's really about doing something that will shift that energy of your body, shift the energy of your spirit to be able to be a little bit lighter, a little bit easier. And then maybe when you come back to those things that are so challenging in your life, they may not feel so heavy. You may have a different perspective on them. And really, that's the whole purpose.
Exactly. And the other thing about creating joy, and I think this is really important for your listeners to know, people know it already, but I don't know if they're doing it. There's this epidemic where, particularly in America, and not everybody, but most people that I know or I go speak with, are in what I call the bad news trance. And what it looks like is you get up in the morning, you listen to the morning news, you read the morning newspaper, and then you get in your car and go to work or the subway or wherever you are, and then you listen to some more bad news or you listen to other people talk about the bad news they saw. Then you get to work and people are saying, oh my gosh, isn't this terrible? Isn't this world falling apart? And then you go about your day. On your way home, you might listen to the radio. And then you watch the evening news, all bad news again, and then you maybe make dinner, do what you have to do, go to church, see your family, whatever, watch trash TV, I don't know. And then the evening nightly news comes on, and you watch the bad news again right before you go to sleep. And what happens is people are doing this all day, every day, day in and day out. And it's like you're just feeding your mind the worst junk food possible if you were eating right? So what you want to do is figure out ways to fill up your mind in other ways with positive material, good stories, meditations, because we can't expect to feel joyful and peaceful as if all we're exposing ourselves is to negative things. So two easy things that everybody can do with no money or resources or even not feeling great about yourself is in the morning, set an intention about your day. Turn off the TV. You know, you can still be an informed citizen. You pick and choose when you want to watch the news or read the news, but you don't do it all day, every day. And you especially shouldn't do it in the morning or right before you go to bed, because that's terrible for your mind to set your time for sleep time and then your intention for the day. So I set my intention for the day, what I hope I bring to those around me and for myself. And then right before I go to bed, I make sure I don't have any TV or news on, and I will just count everything that I'm grateful for over and over again, so that you're clearing your mind and you're actually nourishing it. And then, of course, I always have positive reading material around, even if it's just, and that's how I wrote this book, this Be Amazing, is that it has a lot of quotes in it, because sometimes I would just carry a book with me and just open a page and say, what do I need to know right now? I'm feeling totally stressed out, or I'm freaked out, or I'm angry. And then just a good positive quote will help you reframe. And that's the intention of my book, is that it's just a little pocket guide you carry in your purse. It's just a gentle reminder. It's something, a go-to, like you would a good constructive friend, to say, oh, yeah, I get to choose here. And it really is all these little simple habits that can really change the trajectory of your life.
And also to the idea of everybody has a story, I think that's very similar to what you're just saying, because what you're reading sometimes or hearing is other people's stories, and you just don't want to always make their story your cross to bear, or their story is yours to carry on. In other words, you don't want to always hear that and then be able to take it in and say how bad it is, just to be able to perpetuate that even going further.
Yeah, and everybody has a story as a reminder just to be compassionate, because we spend so much time in our lives passing judgment on other people, really, because we're judging ourselves and then we go out and judge other people. But if you have a trigger, like for me, that's my mental trigger. As soon as I feel judgmental towards somebody or something, I say, no, that's okay. Not to excuse what's happening, but just to reframe it in a way that, you know, they have something in their life that's causing the situation, and I'm willing to be compassionate and take it a little deeper, be present enough to do that. So that I can sparkle instead of just saying, oh my gosh, she's so ridiculous, I don't want to be around her, she always talks about bad people, or I don't like him because he did that, or the person cut me off the road and they're such a jerk. But rather than, you know, rather it could be, oh, maybe they were rushing to the hospital, or, you know, she's saying bad things because she doesn't feel worthy and she's just carrying her baggage. So I'll tell her I don't want to hear it, or that I would prefer if she didn't talk like that around me. But I'm not gonna perpetuate it by being bad to her back, and that's really what everybody has a story. And it actually came out of an experience I had in Chicago again, which is odd. I'm very rarely in Chicago, but I was there for a conference presenting, and I was walking down the street, and I gave a homeless gentleman a couple of dollars. And I had some staff members with me who didn't know me very well at the time. They were newly hired. And one of the ladies I was with kept saying, you know, Erin, why did you give him that money? Why did you give him that money? And I just felt so uncomfortable that she was asking me, because I didn't want to put her on the spot, but it was emotional for me. And so finally I just turned around and I said, you know, I have a brother who's homeless, and I really hope that if someone walked by him and they would give him a couple of dollars, whether it was for booze or cigarettes or not. And so then our mantra kind of the trip became that everybody has a story. She would have never guessed that I had a brother in that situation based on what she saw, you know, a white middle class woman who's educated and her boss, right? But I have a story. My brother has a story, just as she has a story, right? And so when we can take these times when we're doing stuff like that to step back and use that as a term to remind us to refrain from judgment and to open our hearts.
Yeah, because you never know what anyone's story is, nor do you know what anyone's heart is, because they don't carry it on their shoulder all the time. You know, we've become so protective of ourselves these days. Sometimes to be vulnerable is absolutely the last thing a lot of people want to do.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Can you share a little bit in closing about your chapter on presence?
Yeah, presence is the last choice, and it's because unless we can find strategies to get out of the rat race and to stop reacting to everything and start really choosing to respond to things, it's really hard to be compassionate and joyful and courageous. So in that section of the book, I really just talk about some simple things that people can do to start practicing presence. And when I say practicing presence, I don't mean you need to be an enlightened guru and you meditate, you know, an hour in the morning and the hour in the night. I mean, if you do, that's great. And, you know, it can't only help right. us to do that. But we can do it in ways that are really practical. So I use mantras to stay, to help myself stay focused. And some of my favorite ones are all in good time. You know, I have a tendency to want things to get done, and I have to remember in my second mantra is that everything is a process. So having tools in your mind that you could pull on to remind yourself to stay in the moment is really important. It could be anything. And then, you know, taking deep breaths, opening your arms, placing your hands on your heart, all of those physical strategies that you could really go do anywhere, even if you're in a situation where you can't, you go to the restroom and do it. Just so you stay open-hearted and open-minded and right in the moment when you're feeling stressed or, you know, upset or distracted. And then another one that I really like to do, especially since, you know, I really want to be a good listener and I want to show up for people, and I really think that that's a big part of being amazing, is to remember to be interested and not interesting. So many of us get caught up in what we have to say or what we have to give or what we want to be acknowledged for that we forget, you know, if we got interested in everybody around us, we would have such better relationships, to be curious about other people, not just ourselves. And then one that I love that's so simple, and when I go around the country speaking to audiences, this one seems to really resonate, is that I have an idea book and a to-do book. So in my to-do book, I'll write down all of my work tasks, you know, grocery list, appointments I need to make, bills I need to pay, all the to-dos that all of us have to deal with every day. And I'll keep an ongoing list and highlight them as I finish them, and it feels good. But I also carry around a little idea book because, one, once you're doing your list and getting them out of your mind, it kind of reminds me like how many times we've gone to the grocery store for that one thing, walking through the grocery store, and all we're doing is repeating in your mind what you need to get, and then you get home and you don't have it. Not only are you inefficient, but you also missed a whole long time period of time in your day where maybe you could have generated a new idea. And so I also will write down any new idea or quote or things I want to remember or read about as I go out throughout my day. And I get lots of ideas because my mind is emptied from all the to-dos because they're on a piece of paper and now I'll get them done and I can free myself up. So little things like that make a huge difference in the way that we operate and will help us be more present for those we love and for ourselves.
Well, Erin, I think you have a lot of tools in your book. I think it's really a great book to be able to sit down and say something you'd like to focus on. You can open up the book at any page and just read that little paragraph that's there. You'll be able to find some tools and some mantras. And I think what the best part is that it's not something you have to read from front to back to get an idea of what it's saying. You can open it anywhere and understand that. But also, too, you could say, this fits for me, and it doesn't, and then you could turn the page to something else. In other words, you don't always have to sit down and study it and be able to say, I don't get it, I don't know what it means, I have to do some more research. It's very clear, it's able to be read with an affirmation and an action step. It's really, okay, I hear what they're saying, this is what I can do, and this is what it would look like. And I think that's really important these days, especially when we're looking for tools to be able to cause a shift in our life.
Right. I'm so glad that you saw it that way, because that's exactly as it intended. What I didn't want is another book on people's nightstands that they felt pressure to read. What I really wanted to create was just a little friend to carry with you.
And it's a really great book, too, for the listeners that you could be able to check out. Again, the book is called Be Amazing, Tools for Living Inspired. The author is Erin Ramsey. Please do check it out. The link is on the bottom of today's show page. Erin, it was a real pleasure to have you with us today and talk about your book.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being with us. If you'd like to find out more information, please do check out the link for Erin's website on the bottom of today's show page. And as always, have a wonderful day, and we hope to see you again tomorrow. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher, and have a wonderful day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to, and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit www.drjeanettewellness.com to schedule a phone appointment today with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.